We're going to take a few minutes now to remember an extraordinary American, Anthony Acevedo, who died last month at the age of 93. Tony, as he was known, was a Mexican-American who served in World War II. But that's only part of the story. Tony was also a survivor of the Holocaust. The World's Chris Wolf has this profile.
Love. Kill them with kindness. If they treat you wrong, kill them with kindness. That was how Tony Acevedo dealt with cruelty, hardship, and violence. According to his son, Fernando, it was something Tony learnt young, growing up with an abusive father. Tony's response was always patience and compassion.
What I remember about my dad is that had this penetrating smile that, you know, you wanted to get to know him. I know it sounds magical and far-fetched, but that's how he always was. And it used to irritate me because I was like a snot-nosed kid that was wondering why I couldn't get my way about something or why, you know, things didn't happen the way I wanted them to. But my dad would always say, you know, just have patience, you know.
But sometimes Fernando saw something else in his father.
He would just walk away, go to the porch or some parts of the house where he would be able to be by himself. And he would just start crying.
Anthony Acevedo was the first Mexican-American Catholic Holocaust survivor who registered with the museum as a survivor.
That's Kira Schuster, one of the curators of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum.
He was one of 350 American GIs who were captured during the Battle of the Bulge and then selected as slave laborers at Berga, which was a subcamp of the Buchenwald concentration camp.
He was deemed an undesirable by his Nazi captors.
It was hell.
Tony Acevedo was interviewed in 2013 by the Holocaust Museum.
It was just a thought after another thought of praying that there wouldn't be another day like this.
Tony was born in San Bernardino, California in 1924 to undocumented parents. And in 1937, his family was deported to Mexico.
They were forced out of the United States because they were Mexican citizens and not American citizens. And they had no, understood that they had no documents.
Tony, however, was a U.S. citizen and was drafted into the army after Pearl Harbor. He went willingly, partly to escape his father. When the army found out he wanted to be a doctor, they trained him as a medic. His unit arrived in France in December 1944 and was immediately rushed to the front to try to turn back the final German offensive of the war, what became known as the Battle of the Bulge. After 10 days in combat, his company was surrounded and forced to surrender. Tony was sent to a POW camp, but the Gestapo secret police pulled him in for special interrogation. They thought he was a spy.
And I kept denying, and every time I denied, he slapped my face. Then he started to put needles in my fingernails.
After a month in the POW camp, this happened.
We were forced to come out of the barracks and lined up. And the commander said, all American Jews, take two steps forward.
A selection was being made. An order had arrived for 350 slave laborers. They started with the Jewish GIs, but there weren't enough.
Then the commander came by, and then he poked at me, put me up front as an undesirable.
What followed is a familiar story to those who've studied the Holocaust, but few know this happened to American POWs.
Put us on a train, a boxcar, where you couldn't kneel, you couldn't squat for 6 days.
No food, no water, just snow. For 6 days, until they reached the concentration camp at Berga.
When we got to Berga, well, they took us to the cremation center to bathe us. Well, we didn't know that that was for, a baby. We thought they were going to cremate us. They took us to the gas chambers. They took us there, and we saw that the tubings, the pipes up ahead, one was for gas, the other one was for water.
The GIs got showers, but then began a brutal life of slave labor, digging tunnels on starvation rations. Within a week, the GIs started dying. Any caught trying to escape were executed. Tony started to keep a diary and hid it in his pants. It included a list of those who perished. Kira Schuster of the Holocaust Museum.
His list was really one of the primary resources for our knowledge and the Army's knowledge of what the fate was for many of these men. And when I asked Tony, you know, why did you keep the diary? Why did you keep the list? Because certainly if he had been caught, he would have been, you know, severely punished or beaten or possibly even killed for it. And he just looked at me and said it was my moral obligation to do so.
Tony also drew sketches of life and death in the concentration camp at Berger. In early April 1945, with the Allies closing in and snow still on the ground, the Germans ordered the emaciated prisoners out of the camp. They were marched for more than 200 miles.
Oh, we were just almost at the tail end of where we just, our men were dropping off the highway out of the lines of the march. Up ahead, we noticed that the Germans were slaughtering political prisoners. We call them political prisoners, but it turned out to be they were Jewish fellas and families. Children, mothers, and older fellas.
After more than 2 weeks on the march, suddenly, most of the guards fled. U.S. tanks soon appeared. Here's Tony reading from his diary in a CNN interview.
We were liberated today, April the 23rd, 1945.
Tony was 5'10", but he was down to just 87 pounds. He was lucky to survive. Less than half of the 350 US POWs sent to Berger returned home. Tony did not become a doctor. His artistic skill led him into a successful career in aerospace design. He had his troubles, yet his son Fernando recalls how he was almost always smiling.
He was this dancing person. He loved to dance. And whether it was the cumbia, you know, from Cuba, or any kind of Latin music, he would just get into this dancing, and he used to do that around the house with my mother, you know, that he was married to for 40 years. He would just was jovial. He was happy. He was laughing. He liked to play jokes. He never walked around with a frown.
Tony proudly flew the American flag and the POW flag on his lawn. He was a conservative Republican, but according to Fernando, he had recently become concerned that politicians were pitting people against each other.
He had a hard time with what he saw going on, especially this last year. We would watch, you know, the news and switch it from different news stations. He just did not like what he saw.
In later life, Tony was a frequent guest speaker in schools and colleges across Southern California. He wanted to raise awareness to help prevent anything like the horror he experienced from happening again.
It could happen.
He told the students he met, there's only one way to fight hate.
They must learn to able to love more, to understand, and to be able to get along with each other and respect each other and respect others.
Kill them with kindness. If they treat you wrong, kill them with kindness.
Tony Acevedo, World War II veteran, Holocaust survivor, died last month. He was 93. For the world, I'm Chris Wolf.
We've got some archival video of Tony Acevedo on our Facebook page. Just head over to Facebook and search for The World.